Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we have to gather together as your children to hear your word, to worship, to be able to enjoy the fellowship time together, and to just enjoy this special privilege that we have to be able to meet together without any kind of fear in a country where we're free to do so. We thank you for your blessings to us. We thank you for your mercies to us. We thank you that you have given us your word and that you make it available in our language, that we can understand it. We thank you that we have your Holy Spirit to give us enlightenment to understand it and to be able to present it. And I just pray that you would be pleased to make the message that I have this morning be your very words and be accurate to it, to your word, and be a blessing to those who hear. And just pray for your blessing upon the entire service this morning. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So you know that I've been doing a series of messages on Sunday mornings for the fifth Sunday that are basically titled Prayer Is, and I've been going through a series of different perspectives on prayer. And today, I'd like to look at Prayer Is Personal. And there is certainly a time for corporate prayer, and really that's what we're here for this morning, right? We're here to gather together and as his children and to lift up our prayers together corporately. And corporate prayer really is an opportunity for us to gather as the body of Christ and to offer praise and petition to our Creator. We can share our requests and our thanksgiving with our brothers and sisters in Christ as we come together in the unity of the Spirit and raise our voices to him. So corporate prayer is, of course, powerful and comforting. But in addition to our corporate prayer, we also know that prayer is a deeply personal activity. We often pray differently in corporate settings than we do when we're alone in our closet with the Lord. We all have things that we don't share with others, but we are able, as his children, to take these things directly to him in prayer. We can unburden our souls before our caring and compassionate God, things that we might be hesitant to bear before others, things that we might be struggling to express with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can take to him. We can unburden our souls. We can share our deepest and most hidden secrets. Our greatest causes of shame are certainly no secret to him. He's omniscient. He is omnipresent. And he has a complete and thorough understanding of everything. And as believers, we're grateful that in addition to these qualities, he is also kind and compassionate. He knows everything about us, and yet he loves us. We're encouraged to both corporate and personal prayer. Things that we wouldn't consider bringing to a corporate prayer activity, we bring to him privately. So today, that's what I'd like for us to consider, that deeply personal and private aspect of prayer. So the title of this morning is Prayer Is Personal. And I know that each and every one of us here today has issues, has concerns, has requests, has confessions that are private and personal. And while we, as I said, might hesitate or outright refuse to air these things aloud and share them with others, there is no need or concern that we cannot bring to God. There is no thought or deed that he does not already know, and no weakness or failure that can cause him to abandon or stop loving his chosen ones. We should also be mindful that prayer is more than just praise and petition. Prayer itself is communion. Prayer is our means of fellowship with our God. Prayer is the active development of an intimate relationship with our Creator. It's our means of confession, and it's our pathway to repentance and forgiveness. Our desire and efforts to to continually grow in our knowledge of Him would be incomplete without an active prayer life. We should never be afraid to bring anything on our hearts before our God in prayer. So the first point that I'd like for us to consider then is that prayer is certainly a private matter. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to open up and follow along with me, I'm going to go to a lot of places this morning. We'll start in Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, we read, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So we're specifically told to pray privately at times. The reference here is focused on being rewarded for what is done in secret, reminding us that we shouldn't be praying to be seen or considered extra pious by others or better than them. And prayer is not to be about putting on a show or a performance that is to be seen and respected by others. But note, specifically, we're told that there is a place for private, personal prayer, neither seen nor heard by anyone else, just between the believer and his Lord. So then, let's jump in and consider a few aspects of personal, private prayer. And I've pulled things from all over the scriptures to present. As always, I don't think I'm going to cover it exhaustively. I'm probably just going to scratch the surface, but let's start with this. So Psalm 139. He knows me. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4, read, "For the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all." Prayer is personal because He knows us. God knows us completely, better even than we know ourselves. In our prayer, we're not informing Him of anything that He doesn't already know. He has searched us. He has known us fully and completely. None of us can ever keep secrets from Him. He knows everything we do, everything that we think. There can be no misunderstanding. There's no confusion with Him. He understands us perfectly. He knows our motives. He knows our feelings. He knows our biases. He knows our limitations, and He knows our private thoughts. Before we even say the words, He knows it all. He knows us. If we continue in Psalm 139, starting in verse 7, it reads, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are alike to you." These verses then take His knowing of us a step further. There's nowhere we can go. There's no situation in which we can find ourselves, no circumstance in which He is not with us or us with Him. There's no place that His eye cannot see. There is no place outside the presence of God. There's nowhere that He cannot reach us, nowhere that He cannot take hold of us, see, and know us. Now, of course, this is a double-edged truth, isn't it? As condemned sinners, it's impossible to escape from his judgment. But as his redeemed children, we have the comfort of knowing that we can never find ourselves outside of his protection. We can never find ourselves apart from his provision and his providence. Our response, then, as we consider the intimate knowledge that our God has of us, should be like David's here. In Psalm 139, down in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." He knows us. He understands us as no other could. And we, like David, should turn our understanding of this knowledge into powerful personal prayer. He knows us deeply and intimately. We can't hide from him or hide anything from him. He knows our needs. He knows our desires. He knows our weaknesses, our strength, our confusions. He knows our circumstances. We should take everything, even those things that are most private, to him in prayer. Psalm 103:14 says that he knows my weakness and frailty. "For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." It can be difficult at times for us to open up about our insecurities, our weaknesses, our failures, our most shameful indiscretions. Confessing our sins before a holy and righteous God is a daunting task. But we can take comfort in the fact that he is compassionate and merciful. He sympathizes with our weaknesses, and he is mindful that we are but dust. Nothing is hidden from him. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 reads, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Not only is he everywhere that we might find ourselves, here we can see that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that's hidden from his sight. He knows all. He sees all. Everything within creation is exposed to him, open and laid bare. Nothing is hidden. This, again, is a double-edged truth, isn't it? What a frightening thought for a sinner, but a true comfort for those who are trusting in Christ for salvation. As believers, it is a comfort. His watch care over us is complete. His knowledge and understanding of us and our circumstances is perfect. We know that he understands us. Further down in Hebrews 4 and in verse 14, it reads, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin." So not only are we not hidden from his sight, but he understands everything that we go through. Every trial, every temptation, every victory or failure, every joy or sorrow, our precious Savior has experienced weakness and sorrow and temptation. He understands everything we face. He is able to sympathize with us as we go through these things ourselves. And this is a tremendous comfort to anyone who is suffering or struggling. Not only does he know that we are but dust, but he can also sympathize with our weaknesses. So then, what do we do with this understanding? Of course, we go to him in personal prayer. We go to him in personal prayer with the reassurance that he hears us, that he knows us, that he understands us, and what's even more, he sympathizes with us. What a wonderful privilege we've been given, this gift of prayer. We can come with confidence, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what we're facing, regardless of what we've done. Just the next verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. We draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. We can completely pour out our heart to him. We can express our desires, our deepest concerns, our fears, and our anxieties. He knows us. He knows all about our circumstances. He sympathizes with us in our struggles and our weaknesses. He understands us. He knows weakness. He knows temptation. And we can go to him with all of these things in private, personal prayer. We've been invited. We've been commanded even to come to him. He also knows what we need before we know ourselves. In the book of Matthew again, back in chapter 6 again, where I started, we've already looked at verses 5 and 6. So let's continue in verse 7, Matthew 6. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We don't need to use formulas. We don't need meaningless repetition. We don't need to perform to any specific requirements or just pray this prayer, as I'm sure you've all heard. Our Father knows what we need before we ask. We should come before our Heavenly Father, whom we know loves us, and make our petition. We don't need to struggle to find the right words. We don't even need to get a formula correct. We don't even need to present ourselves in a particular posture. We've been called to be like a child, bringing our needs to our Father. Our Father who already knows the need and who cares for his children with everlasting loving kindness, mercy, and compassion. He has invited us to tell him everything. In Psalm 62, beginning in verse 5, we read, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him." God is a refuge for us. He is our rock, our stronghold, our refuge. Our hope is in him. He is our salvation. In him alone, we can be secure and not shaken. And when our circumstances are against us, when we need help and security, we should go to him and trust in him at all times. We should pour out our heart before him. The picture here is of completely emptying a container, holding nothing back. Personal, private prayer is certainly the one time that we can be completely open and honest, because we know that he already knows every minute detail. Whatever is weighing on our heart may be brought before him and poured out. When we're distressed or anxious, we pour out those fears to him, all of them in every detail. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is our stronghold, our refuge, and our rock of strength. One thing more, if you consider the picture of the pouring out of a jar pouring out of water from a jar, the implication is that there's no need for careful selection or just the right words. We don't need to construct a perfect argument. We don't need to try to coerce or convince. We don't need to worry about sentence structure or proper arrangement and order of the content of our prayer. We're told simply to trust Him and pour out our heart before Him. What a privilege and what a joy we have to be able to call upon our Creator whenever and however we need. Over in Psalm 142, we read the following, starting in verse 1. A maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. David says in the verse following, in verse 3, that his spirit was overwhelmed within him. Again, see the pouring out, this time of complaint, declaring my trouble. We may not have a close friend or an ally that we can pour out our heart to or pour out our complaints to, but our Lord knows our path. He gives heed to our cry. He is able to deliver us and to deal bountifully with us in our trials and distresses. Cry aloud with your voice to the Lord. Pour out your complaint. Declare your trouble. David was in dire straits in this particular psalm, and he took his troubles before the Lord in prayer. He was hiding at the time in the cave of Adullam from Saul, who was trying to kill him. And I doubt that he was quietly reciting a rote prayer or repeating any kind of a mantra. He cried out with a loud voice. He poured out his complaint. He told the Lord exactly what his problem was and what he needed. We also, like David, can take everything to Him in prayer, holding nothing back, and tell Him our troubles in prayer. Let's look back a few pages, if you will, to Psalm 55. So this is a psalm of David when he was betrayed by a close friend or ally or companion. David makes a statement here that I'm not sure that I would have wanted to admit, although I've certainly done the same. Psalm 55 and verse 16. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and He will hear my voice. I'll complain and murmur. We don't usually think of this in the context of prayer, do we? David says that he's going to complain and murmur, and the Lord will hear his voice. And note, too, that it's not a one-time lapse on David's part. He's complaining and murmuring morning, noon, and night. I know I've certainly done the same thing at times. So then, we're invited to tell Him everything. We're told to pour out our heart, to pour out our complaint, and He will hear our voice. Look down at verse 22 in Psalm 55 if you're there. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Here's another picture of the nature of this kind of prayer. Cast your burden. In my mind, I imagine somebody carrying a large trash bag and hurling it over the edge of a cliff. This isn't a delicate operation. It's not a precise, logical, controlled activity. Cast your burden upon the Lord. I don't generally think of prayer as casting a burden. But what a privilege we have that we can do just that, that we can energetically divest ourselves of whatever our burden might be. And what is the response to such action? He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Our God is not uninterested or unreachable. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His judgments are unsearchable, and His ways unfathomable, and yet He condescends to incline His ear, to hear our prayers, to accept our burdens, and to sustain and support us in every way. And in that same vein, we have these most familiar verses. Everyone, I'm sure, here probably has them memorized. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We're enjoined to go to him in everything. Let your request be made known to God, whether it's a gentle supplication or casting your burden upon the Lord. We're called to be in prayer. And he understands even what we can't express. In Romans 8:26 and following, we read this. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We've all probably had times when we were in a situation and we think, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know what I need to ask. There are times we're so overwhelmed we can't even think straight. And we can take comfort in the fact that he knows. Even when we struggle to articulate in prayer the exact things that are on our hearts, he knows our heart. He knows what it is that we can't express. These verses also remind us that we don't need to fret about getting it right. It clearly tells us we don't know how to pray as we should. We're too weak in our sinful nature to properly express our prayers, even at the best of times, but the Spirit helps us. The Spirit intercedes for us. And the words here are a blessing, because we're told elsewhere in Scripture that everything that we ask, everything that we pray according to the Father's will, we can be sure that we have. We don't always know what the Father's will is, do we? But the Spirit does. And he intercedes for us according to the will of God. What a blessing. So I'm going to have to cut this short because I'm way over. So we can go to him in prayer to the best of our abilities. We can rest assured in the fact that the Spirit is interceding for us according to the book. We know that he loves us. We know that he cares for us. He foreknew us from eternity past. Every unseemly thing about us, every failure, every rebellion, every wicked way in us, he knows. And yet, he loves us. He gave his son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for our transgressions. He didn't love us because we're lovely. He loves us even though he knows everything about us and just how unlovely we truly are. He cares for us. He knows us. He knows our heart. And we can go to him with the full assurance that he cares for us and that he has compassion on us. So let's go to him in prayer. Father in heaven, we do give thanks that because of the work of your Son on the cross, we have the rich privilege of being able to come confidently before the very throne of grace. That we can lift up our most private, secret, hidden things to you, knowing that you know all things. You know our hearts. Knowing that you are compassionate and gracious, and knowing that you know our weaknesses and you sympathize with us in them. We thank you, Father, that we have the calling and the gift and the ability this morning to come before you in corporate prayer and to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray for your work to be done, to pray for everything that we have around us. But we thank you also that we can go home and go to our closet and pray to our God and have a time of communion and special relationship with you that is unlike anything we can share with anyone else. We thank you for all these things in Christ's name. Amen.